Welcome to 5-Minute Film Finder, brought to you by Pioneer Library System. Hello and welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Film Finder, brought to you by Pioneer Library System. I'm Ben, and today with me is...
Darren.
Hey Darren, how's it going today?
It's going pretty great today. I'm excited to talk about some movies.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we did an episode. Have you been watching many things lately?
I mean, I'm constantly watching movies, of course.
Sure. Any favorites?
Recently?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. Put me on the spot.
Oh, sure. I'll talk about mine. So recently saw Poor Things.
Okay.
So weird. So good. Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not seen
it. It's so good. So weird. We have covered The Lobster by the same director whose name I'm forgetting right now. But he's really found his groove, I think, with the last two of his movies, The Favorite and Poor Things. It's just like the art direction's incredible. It's like a really beautiful, like very like surreal space. And just like a weird Frankenstein story that like touches a lot of spaces that you wouldn't expect it to. But yeah, that's what I've seen recently.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Have you thought anything?
No.
It's okay if not. That's fine. always just like to check in on what people are watching as we haven't gotten to do as many new releases on the podcast lately. So today we have some incredibly disparate movies.
Couldn't be more different. Yeah. And I really didn't, like, when I was looking at stuff, I was like, oh, okay, there's some actors that are in both of these. It's like, oh, we'll pair them together.
Yeah. Darren's always very kindly picking out episodes for me since I am not as timely about it. And the connection between these two movies are they both include Jennifer Jason Leigh and Jude Law.
Yes.
Not leads in both movies. They're both the leads in one. But today, Darren will be kicking us off with...
We're going to talk about Road to Perdition.
All right. So if Wilhelm could start the timer, we will kick off Road to Perdition.
All right. Road to Perdition is a 2002... we call it a crime drama, starring primarily Tom Hanks and his son, Tyler Hoechlin, who's recently become famous for playing Superman on the CW shows. He took a small break from acting in the middle there to play baseball in college or something like that, and has recently become, you know, famous again, kind of. But this was one of his early film roles, debut or something like that. A pretty powerful role from him. We also had, like we said, Jude Law, Jennifer Jason Leigh. Early appearance from Daniel Craig. Who would go on to play Bond for this same director, Sam Mendes, in a couple of different Bond films.
One of my favorite Bonds.
So we got a great set of actors here. It's a Great Depression set film, mobster stuff. This is a Irish mob that, you know, some stuff happens and Tom Hanks and his son have to go on a road trip, kind of.
Yeah. So, overall impressions of this movie.
It's an interesting movie because it's pretty quiet. You know, there's not a lot of dialogue. You had a lot of scenes of, like, you know, characters looking at each other and different stuff like that. So they really kind of played into the emotions of the characters and stuff like that in shooting the movie in that way.
Feels like a lonely movie.
Right. Yeah, even though, like, they're together, the characters spend a lot of time, you know, insulated from each other.
Yes, absolutely. My partner was talking to me, and she's like, I think of that movie, and I think of falling asleep. And I was like, that's weird for a mob movie. But then I was watching it, and I was like, no, I get it. It is, like, a very somber, like, paced film.
Yeah, and the beginning, it starts, it's dark. There's a lot of dark scenes where it's at night, it's snowing, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And kind of sets that tone.
And if you don't get through that first portion to where, like, Hank starts to warm up, you start to see his classic charm and, like...
Very gruff at the start of the movie, absolutely.
And starts to fill that father role that he's, like, kind of being portrayed against in this film to begin with.
Yes, Tom Hanks plays a mob tough. He's a hitman, an enforcer for this Irish mob guy.
Which... pretty disparate role from a lot of his career. Like, it's not often he plays, like, a tough bad guy, like, quote unquote bad guy.
Yeah, anybody who's who's on the side of could be considered bad. It basically, that's generally avoided by Tom Hanks, or you know, whether it's on purpose or not. But
yeah,
but yeah. Yeah, I think he did a great role.
Yeah, absolutely.
Playing that you know, kind of torn between his family and his family. You know.
Yeah. The family and his family. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, Jennifer Jason Leigh is also in this movie. She plays his wife.
And she's not in the movie a lot. Kind of a smaller role for her, even you know, at the time, you know, she was, you know, a relatively popular, you know, actor and stuff. And so it was interesting to see her in that role, pretty understated. Like I said, she's mostly there to, you know, like look at her kids and kind of provide that, you know, reason why Tom Hanks is fighting those two sides of himself, kind of thing. You know?
Absolutely. And then we also have Jude Law in we discussed how these movies are only 3 years apart, but like in my movie, he looks like classic Jude Law, very pretty, very like well groomed, and just like just that very shining, golden, handsome face.
Right.
And this one, very intentionally a creep.
Right, very creepy. Even so much like, not you know, like, so they messed with his hair and made him, give him a little bald spot. He's got nasty teeth, but like the makeup work that they did on his face, like he was a little more angular and stuff like
and
that.
And how he holds himself too, like he like almost holds himself in a slight grimace and like hunched, and just like there's like a menace to him that it goes to show is like he's not just like a pretty face. He is a very competent actor.
The great scene where they're in the diner when they meet for the first time, Jude Law, Tom Hanks' character, and Tom Hanks doesn't know that he's a bad guy yet, or that he's, you know, that Jude Law is there to do him harm. Yeah. And there's the bit with the sweat. It was such a good scene. Yeah. It was so good, and he just quietly menacing. You know, the way he talked and stuff like that. It was really good.
You just
good
felt
for him.
like sharp teeth behind
every
word.
Knew, yeah, we like, knew. You know, the viewers knew that he was bad, but like, you know, seeing Tom Hanks like realize that as the scene plays out. Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think. We didn't mention the Tooch is in it.
Stanley Tucci. Oh, it,
also
so
a light role, but as like one of the higher ups in the mob. But like,
yeah, Frank Nitti. He played Frank Nitti, who would, you know, go on to like take over the mob from Capone.
Yes.
Eventually,
and
he's played here as like the guy who's in charge ish of everything that's going on with crime, and so they can check on him.
Oh, and that's our time. So that was The Road to Perdition. Would you suggest this movie for any fans of other certain movies? Any?
Well, I think it's
good pairings.
I think it's a good, you know, it's not like a strong mob movie because it's mostly about Tom Hanks and his son and the family stuff, like with mob adjacent stuff.
I absolutely agree.
You know, it is definitely like a drama film.
Yeah, it's more like a period drama than it is a mob movie because it doesn't have that tone of like the glorification of the violence or like the excitement of the violence. It's like when it's violent, it's bad.
It's over quickly. Yes. Generally, there's no long extended, you know, even like the couple of fight scenes, they were very short.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They don't play up the horror of the violence. They play up the impact of what happens after.
Yeah, to the characters and stuff. Yes, absolutely.
So, if you enjoy a nice like family drama with crime tie-ins, I think that's a good one. Oh, what is that movie that came out recently? I think it's called The Tailor. Anyway.
Yes, I believe it is.
Yeah, very similar vibe, like mob adjacent, period adjacent, just really well written, lots of just like interesting like scene building and character building without having to do a ton of like violence. Good movies.
Yeah, good stuff.
So we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back for our second movie. And we are back. So that was The Road to Perdition. And now we're going to talk to about a very starkly contrasting movie. It is 1999's Existenz with a capital Z at the end. If Wilhelm will start our timer, we'll start talking about Existenz. All right. So as I said, this film came out in 1999, just 3 years prior to The Road to Perdition. It is a David Cronenberg film. If you're not familiar, he is probably most famous for The Fly, among other films.
Kind of known as the godfather, grandfather, whatever, of body horror. He's like a big body horror guy in the 80s.
And that is on full display mm-hmm. in this movie. I wouldn't call this movie a body horror movie, but like, I just don't think he can help himself.
Right.
Like
if he could put it in there, it's there. Like
yeah.
every point in this movie, you could put some of it in. It is.
Absolutely. And like, he's clearly got his chops up for those things. So ostensibly this is a sci-fi film. Kind of relevant right now with all the stuff with VR.
Yeah, VR, AI stuff.
The
yeah,
Vision Pros yep. coming out. Yep. So this is a movie about a new game console system.
System, yes. Game and system.
Yeah. So it it is a biological system that Jack's...
Well, like you touch it and it squirms.
You know, and I'm starting to talk about this. And the whole point of this movie is that it has you constantly questioning. And I don't know if that thing actually existed because of where you end up in the movie, because they end up with a different system that they are using.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's part of the... Suffice it to say, this movie will leave you with more questions than it answers.
Yes, that is true.
It's fantastic in... Just like there's so many things you never thought you would see,
right? Like almost from the start.
Yeah, there's no easing you in.
Right.
It very quickly is just like, this is the world we're in. It's weird. Get used to it. So you're introduced in a focus group early access to a game console release.
It looks like it is being held in like a country church.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the game console is a squirming flesh sack.
Yep. With like an umbilical cord thing
that you plug in to your bioport.
Bioport that's in your spine.
Yeah. and the whole rest of the movie, you are then forced to figure out whether or not you're in the game. Which is kind of a classic one of like Matrix-y kind of vibe of yep. like, are we in the Matrix? Is this real world? But like so much weirder and so much less concerned with you finding out.
Right. Exactly. No, I just to do it for the effect. Right.
Yes.
You know, not really as important to the story as like, yeah, it's just.
So as we were talking about the body horror, like the silicone and practical effect work on this movie is just off the charts.
Yep.
Like, we clearly are upset by some of the things we saw, but like, that's kind of speaking to the quality of it. Like
they perform surgery on one of these things
yeah.
in this scene, and it's like, that's
yeah, it's upsetting. There's a weird bio gun that shoots
the tooth gun.
Yeah,
yes, it's like, and like, you could see that it's made up of like body parts ish stuff, and then like, you know, he pulls the magazine, and the magazine is a little row of teeth.
Yeah, it's just like somebody's jawbone.
Yes.
So Jude Law and Jennifer Jason Leigh are the two leads of this movie.
The ones experiencing this game.
From the outset, Jennifer Jason Leigh is presented as the game designer of the game that is being released. Jude Law is the PR person.
Who was roped into a security guard gig,
I think,
is the gist. Yeah.
So that's how we enter. Those things may or may not remain true throughout the movie. I don't know. I don't have answers for you. All I can tell you was it was a wild ride.
Very wild, yes.
And like so many points at which you're just like, I don't know what's happening, but I want to keep watching because I want to know where they're going to take this.
Like, it was only like 10 minutes into the movie when you get but 8 minutes into the movie when you get the flesh gun.
Yes.
And it's weird from the start, right? And
yeah.
you don't know every step of the way. You're like, okay, they're going to do this. And then, nope, that's not what happens.
Yep. It's lots of hard 90 degree turns.
Yep.
And I think it felt like to me that David Cronenberg like saw somebody playing some like video games.
Right.
And was just like, I'll show them video games. Like, I can do something with this. This seems like a fun thing to play with.
You know, and it's interesting because there's never any scenes in the movie of a digital representation of a video game.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, there is no like video games in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't make the mistake of a lot of like mid-90s movies of being like, we've got virtual
cool VR. Right. Like they just, it's just there. You're just in just the system.
A real feeling.
The characters
world.
Can't tell really. And, you know, the body horror plays into that, which is a lot of character. Yeah. Like, I'm, you know, freaking out a little bit.
I don't believe that there's any visual effects. It's all practical effects.
Yeah.
So stuff that was all happening on set. So in that sense, it's like, it feels all like very tactile and like, so it left me not thinking about it being a game very much and just being like, this is a weird story.
It almost doesn't feel like a classic 90s sci-fi movie because it doesn't have those things. It feels older. David Cronenberg making it, you know, almost feels like it's,
it feels,
you know,
like a late 80s
movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But what can I say? We're almost out of time, but
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe in a bit part.
Right.
That he shows back up.
Yeah.
But,
good stuff.
I just want to talk about the acting because, like, I think it was very intentionally, like, heightened, weird acting because they're like, it's a video game. All of it's kind of hokey, which
at the time may have been true.
Looking
back from after watching some of it and looking back at the beginning, I was like, at the end, I was like, because at the beginning it was weird.
Yeah.
They were weird from the start.
Nothing naturalistic. Yeah.
Very, yeah.
And, yeah, everybody's just like these heightened, like very like overwrought lines and performances of the lines. And then it like, anyway, who would I suggest this for? If you like weird, horror movies that like have a lot of like creature work, it's probably for you. I think we've gone past our time, but, how about you? Who would you suggest this for?
You know, like 80s, like sci-fi weirdness movies,
yeah.
Like anybody who's into that kind of stuff. Like I said, it is a ride.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like, I don't know that I would call it a good movie, but it was absolutely a fun movie
to
watch. Yes,
it is definitely worth a watch. Anybody who likes any kind of weirdness in their movies.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So that was all for our episode today. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or requests, you can email us at podcast@pioneerlibrarysystem.org. And until next time, bye.
See you later.